Ave Maria.
Hello, friends, and welcome to day 32. It's good to see you. Even after 32 days, it's still good to see you. And so thank you for being here. A special thank you to our sponsors, Clay Ministries. If you haven't noticed, all these videos are free. Mm-hmm. And it's because of their generosity. If you would like to give back to them, I'll put their link in the description and also their websites at the bottom of this screenshot. And so today, what are we talking about?
Today, we're talking about the commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife.
Sister Lucia writes, there's so much disregard of this commandment in the world today that I ask myself if it is even worthwhile talking about. The answer is in the affirmative, because even if the whole world is drowning in the abyss, the word of God remains, repeating, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife.
If Sister Lucia was alive today, you know, like 20 years later, what would she say about the world and the direction that it has gone? You know, because really, the things that were so scandalous even 20 years ago are now celebrated, completely normalized, and almost encouraged. It is encouraged, you know, parents encouraging children to live together before they get married, you know, encouraging children to practice contraception. You know, it's just really, what would be the right word? Disordered.
Mm-hmm. So let's shift gears slightly a bit, because remember, what we're doing is examining our conscience. This is a journey of repentance right now, mm-hmm. so that we can entrust ourselves to Our Lady who brings us to Jesus. So we want to turn away from sin because sin offends God. Mm-hmm. You've heard this before. So let's talk about a serious problem. The problem of porn. Mm-hmm. Pornography. It's everywhere. And friends, it destroys marriages. It destroys lives. I heard somebody say that the problem with pornography is not that it shows too much, but that it shows too little. It just shows people as parts, and we lose the person because we are designed to love people mm-hmm. in proper order. Mm-hmm. And so what are the consequences of pornography?
47% of families in the United States reported that pornography is a problem in their home. Pornography use increases the marital infidelity rate by more than 300%.
56% of American divorces involve one party having an obsessive interest in pornographic websites.
11 is the average age that a child is first exposed to porn, and 94% of children will see porn by the age of 14.
55% of married men and 25% of married women say they watch porn at least once a month.
In 2019, the Freedom Fight conducted a survey of more than 1,300 practicing Christian college students from over 30 different campuses across the country.
89% of the Christian men surveyed watched porn at least occasionally.
51% of young women watched at least occasionally. Sister Lucia talks about Jesus, how on the Sermon on the Mount, he goes one step further, talking about the sin of adultery, but then saying that if you look upon a woman lustfully, you have committed the sin of adultery in your heart.
Sister Lucia writes, we see from this that God forbids not only the act in itself, but also the covetousness and the desire involved, since these lead afterwards to the consummation of the act.
It's painful to say, but we know people in our lives and their marriages have been devastated by pornography. Mm-hmm. We've seen couples recover and their marriages be healed, and we've seen relationships be destroyed. And we just mentioned this just so you understand the seriousness of this, because nothing good comes from sin. Mm-hmm. But God's mercy can redeem every situation, no matter how hopeless, no matter how dark, no matter how deep of bondage it might be. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that God cannot redeem, and we must remember this. Mm-hmm. So let's continue our examination of conscience.
Have I entertained or taken pleasure in impure thoughts?
Have I read indecent literature or looked at bad pictures?
Have I watched suggestive or impure movies, TV, internet, or permitted my children to do so?
Have I attended immodest dances or indecent plays?
Have I been an occasion of sin for others deliberately or through carelessness? Remember what Our Lady of Fatima says, certain fashions will be introduced that will offend my son very much.
Have I willingly listened to impure stories?
Have I boasted of my sins or taken delight in past sins? Have I consented to impure glances?
Have I unnecessarily remained alone in the company of someone of the opposite sex?
Have I watched suggestive or impure movies, TV, internet, or permitted my children to do so? So, like all the other commandments, it is time to reform our lives, to go to confession, to make penance and do reparation for our sins.
Sister Lucia writes, "The story of King David tells that he sinned against this commandment. God dealt mercifully with him, sending him the prophet Nathan. After hearing the prophet's words, David repented and did penance. Therefore, God ordered the prophet to say to him, 'The Lord also has put away your sin, you shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child that is born to you shall die.'"
There's temporal consequences as well for our sin, especially in the areas of sins of the flesh.
Mm-hmm. And then the other example that Sister Lucia gives is that of John the Baptist, how then he goes and approaches Herod and tells Herod, you know, you cannot be, you know, marrying your brother's wife. This is a sin of adultery. And then what happens to John the Baptist? Well, we all know he gets his head cut off. And then you think of like St. Thomas More, who stands up to the king, telling him that he cannot divorce his wife. And then what happens to him? He too gets his head cut off. But now, in our modern day society, what would happen if we said that? If we stood up to someone saying, you actually cannot be married to that person, or what you are doing is wrong.
Our Lady said to Jacinta, "More souls go to hell because of the sins of the flesh than for any other reason."
Okay, so we need a remedy. We need a solution, because otherwise this is getting pretty depressing.
It is, because, you know, I think sins of the flesh can really fill a person with a lot of shame, because oftentimes it can be habitual and addictive. And so what can we do? Well, St. Alphonsus, let's turn to him. He offers four remedies. Number one, humble yourself before God. And that he just means say, God, I need you in my life. Number two, he says, call on the name of Jesus and Mary. So in that moment of temptation, you can't tell yourself, I'm going to stop thinking this. No, you have to replace that thought. And so he says, call upon the name of Jesus and Mary. Number three, he says, regular reception of the Eucharist and regular confession. And number four, here we go, entrust ourselves to Our Lady. Do you remember the story of Noah's Ark? God was going to punish the wicked by sending the flood. And what does he instruct Noah to do? Build the big boat, the ark, for his family. And then the wild beasts will come two by two, and they also shall have some protection. Mm-hmm. So Noah does that. St. Alphonsus says, Mary is the ark of the new covenant. So what happens is when we entrust ourselves to her, we come under her protection. But it's different than going on the old boat. He says that when we go under her protection, it's different, because on the boat, there was only room for pairs of the wild beasts. Whereas in the new covenant, Mary, we go under her mantle of protection. There's enough room for the entire world. St. Gertrude had a vision of these wild beasts coming up to Mary, and Mary not pushing them away, but welcoming them under her mantle of protection. And as the beasts and the leopards and the lions all came under her mantle, she tamed them. And so it is when we entrust ourselves to Our Lady with the sins of the flesh and our passions. We place ourselves in the ark. We place ourselves under her care, and she tames them. As the beasts left that ark with Noah, they still remained beasts. But when we place ourselves in the care of Our Lady, she helps us act like children of God and not like beasts. Because our fleshly passions, when they are disordered, it's beastly. But when we entrust ourselves to Our Lady, she helps us act like children of God. And that's the only way to happiness.
The Blessed Virgin herself said to St. Bridget, "However much a man may have sinned, if it returns to me with a genuine intention of repentance, I'm ready at once to receive him. I don't pay attention to the sins with which he's burdened, but only to the good disposition in which he comes. And then I don't refuse to anoint and heal his wounds, for I am called and truly am the Mother of Mercy."
So friends, in this process, remember to go to the sacrament of confession before you entrust yourself to Our Lady. And today, let's seek her intercession. The rosary's right up there. Mm-hmm. Our Lady of Fatima,
pray for us. Hey, thanks for watching. Would you like to spread the message of Our Lady of Fatima? It's simple. Just share this video with others.
And to get all our regular scheduled videos emailed to you, head over to CatholicSpeaker.com and sign up. God bless, friends.